Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we begin the program today by celebrating the bald eagle. What a magnificent bird. And a couple of guys who know an awful lot about bald eagles. Jeb Barzin of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council of Sauk City. Jeb, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
And Randy Jurowitz back again as well. He's an endangered resources biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources in Madison. Randy, good to see you again, too.
Good to be here.
Fun to talk about eagles, isn't it, Jeb?
You bet.
They're a fantastic bird, and people are going to have a chance to really see those eagles in a kind of a cool setting coming up this weekend, isn't it? Yeah.
It's we're biased because both Randy and I have been involved in Eagle Days for Randy's been involved for 21 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've been involved for a mere 20 or so.
Rookie.
Yeah, I know. the Sauk Prairie area is a wonderful place to see eagles because though it doesn't have the most eagles of any place that you could go in Wisconsin, it has them kind of up close and intimate in that you can see them often very close to the town, close to the river, and of course all the other activities for Eagle Days brings you up close and personal with eagles and other raptors.
And there are lots of eagles, as you say. I was looking, I think one of the DNR reports was 285 eagles along the Wisconsin Flyway or something like that.
The number of eagles in winter has been gradually increasing, but how many eagles you see at any one time depends on what the weather's like and where they're located. And so those numbers kind of, the birds are always fluctuating. You know, they might be concentrated in the Sauk Prairie area and they could go all the way down to Lone Rock. They're kind of moving all around. But our numbers have gradually been increasing. The highest count that we've had this year is 314. The DNR count was fairly high for a broader area.
Yeah.
And our latest count was 119 birds that we counted just last Sunday.
So there are lots of birds out there, and we'll talk more about Eagle Days and how you can get involved in Eagle Watching Days with our two guests here, Jeb and Randy. But also we'll take your questions about eagles, in general questions about eagles too, and you can join us by calling 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. We'd love to hear from you. Mary in Madison is online, as a matter of fact. So let's go to Mary. Mary, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I've been waiting for the show all week. I have a sister that worked as a vet tech that happened to work for the vet that does most of the work on the eagles in that area. And she said it is simply indescribable to be touching one of these huge birds. She said, of course, you must proceed with great caution, that the feet are actually more of a problem than the beak. But I've always been quite envious she was actually able to hold some of these birds while they were, of course, restrained by other people also. I had two questions, and it's fine if the speaker doesn't want to address the first one. I know it's a real hot potato. I had met someone that is working on the very high-end condos along the sides of the river there up in Sauk Prairie, and he said they are selling like hotcakes to affluent people from Madison. I know that's been very controversial, that whole development, and I thought it had been stopped at one point. If the guest wants to answer the question at all, what is their impression of the impact, if any, on the birds, and how much future development do you think can be supported in that high-demand area? And question two is, another thing I've waited for at least a year here, there is someone hunting goldens in the Midwest. As the speakers probably know, most of the eagle hunting is done in other countries. A lot of it's done in Mongolia and Russia. The eagles were considered a very unstable, dangerous bird to hunt at game. There's a man named Joe, and I've never found his last name. Do they know who is hunting golden eagles in this part of the country? And thank you for such an interesting show. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, you want to take the development question, Jeb Barzin. What about development along that Sauk City area? Any ideas or thoughts as to whether or not that development is going to have an impact on eagles?
Well, the development that Mary's referring to is one that Ferry Bluff Eagle Council provided a fair amount of data to the Prairie du Sac Village Board about. We do think that it might have an impact. We tried to mitigate the impact to some extent, but we think that there still might be some impact. Predicting the future is always a hard thing, especially with wildlife. And so we don't know what will happen in the future. We have our predictions, and right now we're in a step of trying to monitor what is going to happen. In that particular process, it didn't work very well. We weren't able to really engage in a real good discussion about assessing what the impacts could be and how might you deal with them in a broad way. But that impact or that particular development plan wasn't indicative of many of the various issues that we've been involved in over the two decades of our existence, and that we've often worked very closely with town boards, with developers, and we often find that there is a way of finding a solution that allows development to occur in a way that doesn't impact the eagles. And most time, developers are really willing to work with us quite closely and carefully to do that. And so it is possible. How much development is possible within any particular area, it's really hard to answer because it depends on, it's like real estate. You know, it depends on location, location, location. And that's a really important thing for eagles. So development in one spot might be very benign, and in a spot that's not very far away could be a much bigger impact on the birds. Yeah. So it's hard to assess that on a general basis. But we've overall been very encouraged in the ability of and the support that local businesses have and the degree to which they really want to work to have a vibrant economic community as well as a vibrant natural resource, which the eagles represent in the winter.
And Randy, maybe I'll turn to you for the second part, which Mary was wondering about somebody who had been hunting golden eagles, which I assume is not legal.
Well, no, the golden eagles are protected by the same federal act that the bald eagle is. Even now that the bald eagle has been finally delisted this past August, the Fish and Wildlife Service delisted bald eagles, which really signifies their full recovery here in the country. But I believe Mary was talking about, and hopefully she was talking about, hunting with golden eagles.
Oh, falconry, hunting with golden eagles.
In which case, if she would call our bureau office, we would look up who's authorized under a falconry permit. She'd call our office at 608-262-7012. We might be able to look up the falconry permit for Joe, then, who would be authorized to use golden eagles to hunt game.
Okay, well, I totally misunderstood what Mary was saying there, and I was sort of incredulous of who's going to be shooting golden eagles. Okay, well, 262-7212 is the number for with an area 608.
608-7012.
7012.
262-7012 is our bureau number.
7012. Okay. All right. Let's go to Scott in Appleton next. Scott, hi to you.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am standing out here at Tallulah Park in Appleton, and I'm looking across the river at the cemetery. And up in the trees there are four bald eagles. And they're just gorgeous birds. But in regards to federal regulations and laws and that kind of stuff, not specifically to bald eagles, but raptors in general. If I find an eagle feather that happens to fall from the bird down onto the trail, what are the laws regarding that eagle feather? And not only that eagle feather, but what are the laws regarding owning or picking up roadkill for the feathers? And I will listen to y'all.
Off the air. Okay. Well, Randy Jerwitz, I think that's probably your bailiwick.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that those things are really cool. I mean, they're little treasures that you find when you are outdoors. Unfortunately, they're for the protection, mind you, for the protection of all those migratory birds, not only the whole animal, but also each individual feather are protected, and it is illegal for people, private people, to possess them. We try to get those, eagle feathers especially, we try to get those to the national repository for eagle feathers because Native Americans can possess them for religious purposes. And so they are utilized once people turn them in. But it is right now illegal for people to possess migratory bird feathers, hawks, owls, robins, blue jays, the whole gamut, because once upon a time it was the feathers themselves that these animals were hunted nearly to extinction for. adorning, mm-hmm. Hats.
Women's hats.
Exactly. And whether you pick up that feather from, laying on the sidewalk or out in the woods, or whether you shot the bird first and plucked that feather out, it's impossible, for us to tell, the actual source of that feather once you have it in hand. And to give maximal protection to these animals that richly deserve it, both the federal government and state government passed laws saying, no, you cannot possess those. So leave them lay. Let the squirrels use them for their nests. Eagle feathers you can certainly turn in to DNR wardens, and they will be utilized. But it is illegal for people to possess the birds themselves and any part thereof.
It's an interesting backstory on that whole thing, because at one point, feathers in ladies' hats, and I'm going to go back to the 1800s, was it, I think,
sure.
were all the rage. And there was a woman, and I'm blanking on her name now. She was a high society gal from Philadelphia, I believe, and she just personally went around to other wealthy women and talked this up against having feathers in hats. And she almost single-handedly got it organized and really turned the whole hat-making industry around, which was a very good thing for us and the birds,
yep.
Especially for the birds.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Scott, did we answer your question? Yeah, I think we got your question answered. Let's go to Vince in Wheatland next. Vince, hi.
Yes, good morning to everyone. I just heard on NPR the other day about a circumstance up in Kodiak, Alaska, where something like 50 eagles were in a feeding frenzy in a truck full of fish waste, and like 20 eagles died due to drowning. And I wonder if your guests had any perspective on that and whether they've heard of any other circumstances like that, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks for calling. Jeb Barzin, you want to take a shot at that?
I had seen that parts of that news report come across, and I don't fully understand it because it's hard to imagine how eagles would drown in that an eagle in the water can actually swim.
Yeah.
They're not a very graceful swimmer, mind you, but they can swim. So if they mm-hmm. go into the water, they can still usually get to shore. And it might, they can even do this in the winter, so it's not that they're as highly susceptible to cold after getting wet as you might think. So I'm not really sure how that sort of thing can happen. But one of the things that it does suggest is that when you try to artificially concentrate birds into a particular area, there's all sorts of unintended consequences that
yeah.
can occur. Disease can be transferred more readily and things like that. So it's you have to be very careful when you artificially concentrate birds in ways that they really aren't meant to be concentrated in. When you have a lot of offal from a fishing byproduct and that sort of thing, that can cause some unnatural situations where animals are more prone to injury or death.
I was muskie fishing in the Manitowish Waters area and saw an eagle in the water, and they're not real graceful, but the eagle just worked its way over to the shore, and that was it. It wasn't any problem, Randy.
Yeah, and I just got some data from analysis of eagle mortality from the year 2000 through 2007 here for eagles from the state of Wisconsin. And none of them, as far as I can determine, actually died from drowning. We did necropsies on nearly 600 bald eagles during that time period. Almost half of them were due to trauma, and half of that is vehicle collisions.
Oh.
So in Wisconsin, people are driving around throughout Wisconsin in winter need to be very, very cautious because the eagles are feeding on dead deer,
mm-hmm.
Vehicle-killed deer, and they take a long time to get up off that deer carcass, and they get hit by cars, of all things.
Yeah. In November of this year up in Bayfield County, we observed that. We're driving along the road, and suddenly, there's an eagle right along the roadside feeding on something. I don't know if it was a deer. It was feeding on something, and fortunately, it didn't take off. We were traveling within the speed limit, but if it had by the time you saw it, sort of, well, it's like a deer, you know. Suddenly there's an animal in front of you, and it's hard to stop. So you have to be kind of watchful. Walter in Port Edwards, we'll get to you in just a minute. Just to remind you, if you'd like to join in, we're talking celebrating bald eagles here in Wisconsin with Jeb Barzin of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, Sauk City, and Randy Jurowitz, endangered resources biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Give us a call with your question at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking eagles today with Jeb Barzin and Randy Jurowitz. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for listening in. You know, guys, before we go back to the phones, I want to talk a little bit more about Eagle Watching Days, because this is a great event coming up this weekend, and then there's another one the weekend following, I believe, and then another one in February as well. But, Jeb, you want to talk a little bit about this weekend's Eagle Watching Days?
Well, I can. Randy and I can tag team it.
Okay.
As far as the weather coming up, it's ideal for eagle watching. It's not necessarily ideal for thermal regulation, but it's great for eagle watching. In that, as we get more snow and as it gets colder, the birds will tend to be concentrated more in the Sauk Prairie area. When it's warm and there's not much snow, they're spread out in other habitats that they use, like agricultural areas and further downriver, or spread out over a long stretch of river. So as it gets cold, they get more and more concentrated, and there's more snow. They're not using ag areas as much because they're carrying food out there is covered up. And so we've got great conditions that are coming up, so the birds should be concentrating in the places where people are going to be concentrating and should be good viewing.
And there are opportunities. I mean, there are places you will actually more or less take or show people where to go to see the birds, Randy.
Yes, that's true. The good thing about it is that all you have to do is get out to Sauk Prairie area and find the high school, and that's pretty much just right up Water Street, directly west on Grand Avenue. You'll run right into the high school, and then from there, pancake breakfast beginning at 8 o'clock, so you can chow down there. Then we will have free bus tours from the high school to watch eagles, so you'll be in a heated bus the whole time if you care to. The bus tours go to the three different main viewing sites to see eagles in the area. It goes back to the high school. Then there's going to be a free Birds of Prey show. So you're guaranteed to see eagles even if you don't step outside. Eagles and hawks and falcons will be there at the River Arts Center on the south end of the high school. Other presentations about wildlife photography, bald eagles here in Wisconsin, the population rise and recovery here in Wisconsin. Another bald eagle and Birds of Prey show in the afternoon. And then the break it all up, a very humorous presentation by David Stokes about animals here in Wisconsin. And so it's a great day, and we're doing exactly the same thing both on Saturday and Sunday. So while everybody's getting ready for the 5:30 Packers game, you can still come out and see bald eagles all weekend.
Oh, and so starting at 8 in the morning.
8 in the morning.
But yeah, you can come anytime during the day.
Well, I got this wonderful vision of what we should do for the pancake breakfast is we should mimic eagles feeding on the Wisconsin River and have the pancakes kind of moving down in a line so people can come down and snatch the cake that they want.
So that's both this Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
Cool. Walter in Port Edwards will give you a chance. Hi, Walter.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Great.
I have a little bit of insight on the eagle problem in Alaska. As I'm listening to this, I say, gee, I read this within the last day or two, and I don't remember where I read it. But the scientists thought it had something to do with the fish oils in this slurry kind of compound compromised the eagle feathers' ability to do whatever it does.
Okay.
Does that sound reasonable?
That could make some sense, Randy or Jeb?
Well, yeah. Plus, as I understand it, I mean, it was the back of a truck that was carrying these things, and they had 50 eagles in there, you know, pounding on each other, trying to get to the fish guts. So I'm sure there was a lot of just trampling of each other, as well as the oils that gentlemen were talking about.
Yeah, well, that certainly could be it. Randy, by the way, you mentioned you gave a phone number earlier for your office. I think for Mary to call, well, for anyone, I suppose. But the number should have been was a little different number. It's area 608-266-7012. I believe you mentioned 262, but it's 266-7012. So
I stand corrected. You see how often I call my office.
I wanted to make sure that we got that for anybody who wanted to call the office, including Mary, who had the question about the golden eagle, or the guy that hunts with golden eagles. 266-7012.
So that must be thanks to Jim Packard and somebody else who maybe called in.
Jim's very helpful that way. Mark in Spring Green, it's your turn. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hey, guys, good morning. If you remember a couple weeks ago when we had that thaw, there was a lot of moisture in the air, heavy rain, temperatures probably in the 40s, and I live between Lone Rock and Spring Green. I'm coming along one of the rows right along the river, and I looked up in the high lines, and there is an immature bald eagle hanging upside down, and I was devastated. I knew it was dead. I stopped, and I called my local warden and got an answering machine, and then I called a guy from Alliant Energy that I know, and unfortunately, he said, yes, I've heard of this before. Unfortunately, that line is extremely high voltage, and I looked up at that line, and I thought, you know, there's... And he was saying something about, I've seen it arc 6 or 8 inches, you know, and so I assumed that the bird, you know, spread its wings, whatever. It was miserable weather and was electrocuted. But my question is, Alliant Energy, in their infinite wisdom, can't they do a better job of designing their high lines, especially in our area? It wouldn't seem to me to be a big deal to separate those wires a little bit more. Some of those wires I was looking at, there's only 8-10 inches in between them. And you have a bird with a wingspan of 2 to 3 feet.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Randy for that. Randy, what's your comment?
Well, Alliant Energy has done a lot of good things, and they are one of the sponsors of Eagle Watching Days in Sauk Prairie this coming weekend. And I don't know... it hasn't been that big a problem. Now, each individual bird that you lose, you know, is kind of a shame. You know, I grant you that. But over the years from 2000, 2007, only about 12% of all the mortalities in the entire state were due to this type of electrocution. So, yes, it happens, but the good news is it's not a significant mortality mm-hmm. factor for eagles. It doesn't happen that often.
Well, that's good. That's good to know, Mark. I thank you very much for calling, and you're right, absolutely right. Anytime you see even one eagle dead, it's really a shame. Dave in Cumberland has a question for us. Let's go to Dave. Dave, hi.
Oh, good morning, Larry. It's not a question. It's more of a little story my dad told me when I was growing up years ago. He was telling me about him and some fishing buddies after the Second War went up to Little St. Germain Lake in Vilas County, and they loved it up there. They caught a limit of walleye, and they put the walleye on a stringer, and they put the stringer attached to the pier. After lunch, they left the fish in the water there attached to the stringer. They went out in the boat again, and about an hour later, they looked up, and there goes a bald eagle carrying a big stringer of fish. And my dad says, look at that. Some foolish fisherman left us off his dinner. Well, guess what?
It was theirs.
It was their limit of walleye. But they got a big kick out of it, and I thought I'd share the story.
That's a great story. You probably heard stories like that before, Randy.
Oh, yes. They are very opportunistic feeders, whether it's stealing somebody else's fish fry or or feeding on carrion, for that matter. They eat a fair amount of dead animals in the uplands, which is one thing that's going to make this coming weekend pretty good with the snow that we're supposed to get tonight.
Yeah.
And the cold weather, and there is a huge population of gizzard shad in the river this year, so there's going to be a real frenzy out there. Hopefully not like the one they had in Alaska, but a real feeding frenzy out below the dam this weekend.
Well, right there at Sauk City, that's going to be more... That's a natural kind of feeding situation and not the back of a truck. which is great. And really, I've been to eagle watching days, and it's a lot of fun. And you see a lot of eagles. Everybody's friendly and having a good time. Take your binoculars along, although there are places where you can actually – there are spotting scopes out there where you can take a closer look yourself if you don't happen to have your own.
Right. We will provide that.
Yeah. So – Steve in Jefferson, it's your turn next. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Yeah, you should also take your cameras with you because a lot of these things are worth seeing more than once.
Absolutely.
I didn't have my camera with me, but I saw something pretty fabulous. I was snowshoeing across the Red Cliff Indian Reservation north of Bayfield, and it was there was a powder of snow on everything. Just like today, but it was a clear blue day, 10 o'clock in the morning, so it was just perfect for seeing tracks in the snow. And I saw where an eagle had snatched up a field mouse that was running along the side of the road. And what I saw was a field mouse running along where the snow had been plowed, and the eagle swooped in and took three hops in at an angle and had a tussle with this mouse, and then has swooped back out with three more hops. And each one of these hops was a perfect set of eagle tracks with all of the flight wings delicately pressed into the snow in a full spread eagle, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
And it was just gorgeous.
Now, there you should have had your camera, Steve.
Well, so my suggestion to the eagle watchers is there's a lot more to see than just up in the sky when you're looking for the eagles.
Oh, that's a great story, Jeb.
Oh, it's a wonderful story. Some of the things that are really fun about it is if an eagle really did do this, it's fairly unusual for them to hunt for mice because mice are real small compared to the size of eagle talons. But it's not unusual to have eagles up in that area in the early winter. Throughout the Midwest, adult eagles seem reluctant to leave their territories, and you can often see them well into the winter, into December, and even into January up in these northern areas, even though at the same time we have eagles concentrated down here in the Banana Belt in the warmer climes of Wisconsin and Minnesota. But the other thing that's really fun is there's a number of other raptors who could also provide the same sort of tracks that you're looking at, both owls and hawk owls. And owls like a barred owls could provide some of the descriptions that you're seeing. And also, what was I thinking of? Oh, rough-legged hawks and species like that would be more likely to be feeding on smaller prey like field mice.
But eagles have a great eyesight. And can really, they could pick up a field mouse running along a roadside, couldn't they?
Well, by picking up, they can see it. You know, that's certainly true. Larry's prompting a story that I was telling Randy and Larry before we went on the air. But people often ask, how well do eagles see? And, you know, the science behind what we know about how well raptors see is okay, but it's not great. We don't know a lot about that, and it's a hard thing to look at. But my answer to that question comes from a story that I had doing research in China, and I saw a white-tailed seagull, which is very similar to our bald eagle, and a white-tailed seagull killed a ruddy shell duck, which is a bird that's about the size of a small Canada goose. And I thought it was pretty cool, and I was doing a waterfall survey and crane survey at the time, and was scanning with my binoculars, and all of a sudden I saw a dot on the horizon, and that dot, with 10-power binoculars, turned out to be another white-tailed sea eagle gliding from the moment I could see it to this second ruddy or white-tailed sea eagle and the ruddy shell duck. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. It saw that a long ways away. And through the course of doing this crane and waterfall survey, I saw ultimately 9 eagles from different quadrants in the sky doing the same sort of thing. And besides being an impressive sight, having a gaggle or whatever you call a flock of eagles all tussling over a ruddy shell duck, it tells me that these birds were seeing much better than I could see with 10-power binoculars. Yeah. And they probably were even farther away because from the time I could see them, they already had their wings set. So they had already seen what I had seen. And it's just a spectacular demonstration of the visual acuity of the birds.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. I appreciate that story. You know, we had that, and I think, Randy, you mentioned this. We had a milestone reached in August of 2007 when bald eagles were upgraded on the federal endangered species list. What does this upgrade mean for the bird itself?
Well, it is a success story for the Endangered Species Act, the federal act, the state act, and certainly a milestone for bald eagle recovery here in the upper Midwest. Have to give kudos to all those people who donate to the Endangered Resources Program on their tax checkoff or buy those license plates, because, part of that money all goes into, endangered species management. And the recovery of the bald eagle, is one of those things where it's proof that it's working. The whole system out there is working. Now, for bald eagles were protected, fully protected, even before there was the Endangered Species Act of 1973. They were protected by the Bald and Golden Eagle Act. And so they still retain, that act is still in effect, and they still retain full protection. One of the things that's going to be different has to do more with impact review work and how lenient we can be in terms of development near bald eagle nest sites and near bald eagle wintering sites and that type of thing to make allowances for the fact that this animal is not as rare as it once was. And now we can be, a little bit more pushy, I guess, in terms of sharing the Wisconsin countryside with it.
Well, it's a really great thing that we're able to take them off and upgrade them. That is for sure. By the way, if you want to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. We have open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly. And you did mention, and I always like to plug that, it's tax time coming up here, and people will be looking at the taxes. And when you fill out that your Wisconsin tax form, I always set aside some money and put it in that Endangered Resources Fund, which has been a real boon, I think. Well, not my money, but overall, that's been a real boon for our endangered species.
Oh, it really has. I mean, it is the major funding source for all the Endangered Resources Program for the state of Wisconsin. Endangered species management, natural areas management, our whole heritage system that keeps track of all where and how all these rare animals and plants and plant communities are doing. And as you mentioned, it is tax deductible next year. So it has been very important because we do not get money from license hunting or fishing license plates. We do not get tax money directly, although we do. There is tax money that matches the money that you donate. So actually, your dollar is doubled, but without your dollar in the first place, we don't get any of that other money.
Yeah, so it's very important. Richard in Monona, it's your turn. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I'd like to make a comment. I live in Monona, and there used to be a pair of bald eagles living in the wintertime in Monona at the end of Tecumseh Drive. And there were two of them, and at one point they were even three. And they just kind of limit themselves to one area. I'd take walks, and I'd see them hopscotching on top of the trees. And it was really, really amazing, interesting to walk. And last year, only one of them came back, and I thought maybe it was one that had lost its mate. And this year, I haven't really seen any, but there's a very large eagle nest on a big tree in someone's yard off Tecumseh Drive, right next to one of the canals there.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering if you have any, if you've heard of that, or if you know what might happen to the eagles.
Yeah, Randy, you know about that nest.
Yeah, I've been down there and I've been looking at it. We keep watching it in spring, and there was a pair of eagles, adults. They seem to be full adults. And they were playing house, if you will, over there for last couple of winters. I haven't seen them down there this winter, but And yet come springtime, they just aren't friendly enough to each other to the cats may have to deal and go ahead and nest there. But it's a heck of a huge structure. However, there were eagles nesting south of there on Mud Lake, Lower Mud Lake, last year. And so it may have just be an alternate nest as this pair kind of tries different locations around that area and kind of sampling to see, you know, which one's going to work out best for them.
And I did see, Richard, I did see an eagle on Lake Monona this winter. I was telling, and I've told this story in the past on the show, but just a few weeks back, an eagle took a goose, Canada goose, off the lake, killed it and ate it right on the lake on the ice. So it was, there's still eagles around, that's for sure. But if you really want to see eagles, this weekend is the time to do it. Go to Eagle Watching Days. And again, it's Saturday and Sunday, Jeb, right?
Saturday and Sunday. If people can't come for this weekend but still are interested in coming up and watching eagles, there's also bus tours that occur each of the weekends every Saturday from January 26th through March 1st. And they can contact Fairy Bluff Eagle Council through our website, which is fairybluffeaglecouncil, all one word, .org, or saucprairie.com, which is the Sauk Prairie Chamber of Commerce.
And also, we should mention that the 15th annual Bald Eagle Days will be held in Cassville on January 26th and 27th in Riverside Park. So that's another place people could go. And then Bald Eagle Appreciation Day will be held in Prairie du Chien on February 23rd. So those are some other dates as well. And let's take a call from Jim in Wilson, Michigan next. Jim, hi to you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I live in an area where there's bald eagles nest around here. And I was driving down the road a couple of years ago. And just after I crossed over the bridge, I saw a bald eagle and a flock of crows feeding on a dead deer. And I slowed down to watch, and they all took off with the bald eagle flying right in front of me for about 100 yards down the road. And then we both turned in opposite directions.
It's a great sight, isn't it?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Well, we were talking about that earlier. Got to be careful, and you were obviously careful in your driving, and that's something that quite a few eagles that die in Wisconsin are actually hit by cars. So it's just another reminder. But the best reminder I can give you, Eagle Watching Days this Saturday and Sunday starts at 8 in the morning, going down at 8. You can get some pancake breakfast and at the high school, and from the high school you can take free bus tours to three different spots. If it's cold, you don't even have to get out of the bus if you don't want to, but you can, obviously, and get the binoculars out and get the cameras out and take some pictures. And in the afternoon, there's some great events going on, presentations that are relating to eagles and the environment, and you're going to really enjoy it in both days. It's sort of everything repeats itself on Sunday, what we had on Saturday. And guys, thanks very much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Here.
Thank you.
Jeb Barzin of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, Sauk City, Wisconsin. One of our guests, the other, Randy Jurowitz, endangered resources biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Eagle Watching Days. Get out. See those eagles. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Coming up, we're going to be talking biomass and biofuels with Eric Eppelbach of Madison, President and CEO of Virent Energy Systems. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.